Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. My name is Suchina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I am so grateful, and I feel so blessed to be here with you all tonight. I want to just thank you all for just always tuning in, whether it's by the live or whether it's by the demand, and even by those who participate in the poll questions. I know you don't see a lot of it on the Facebook, but I catch a lot of my poll questions either messenger or I catch it through my text messaging. And I really am appreciative of it because they come from all over, and I'm so appreciative. Now, I don't like to start the show off without prayer, so let's just go right into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for who you've been in my life, and I thank you for where you're taking me, Lord. I thank you for Chronicles of a Fonder Woman, for giving me the vision, for birthing the vision in me, Lord. And, Lord, I come to you as a humble servant that I humble myself now. I ask you that you forgive me of any of my sins, thought, word, and deed. And I just, those who are listening and tuning in, whether they're in the United States or outside of the United States, whether they're live or whether they're going to be catching it by demand, I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. But most of all, I thank you for your mercy. And I ask to go back to your love because it's so unconditional. And I thank you for loving us in spite of and despite of. And as we prepare to just continue to give you the honor and praise as we praise, we prepare for Easter Sunday on this Palm Sunday or Passover Sunday or Palm Sunday. So I thank you, Lord, that as I move forward, decrease me, Lord, and increase. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in tonight. And Lord, on the subject that we're getting ready to talk about, Lord, I just thank you for those who may be going through or have gone through as we talk about the subject of our children and the adults, because we were once children first. And it's in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Can you hear me now? It's so interesting how this topic was brought into my spirit, and I'm excited, but I'm also a little nervous. I'm full of emotions right now, and I have to just go ahead and give you a forewarning that this show will probably end up being a two- or three-parter show. Hear me now. And I put the poll question out there. Let's just go into it. But before I do, I want to thank those who've been tuning in. As I mentioned earlier, I started it earlier. I want to thank those who've been tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. We started it almost 2 years ago, and you all have been holding it down and hanging in there with me, and I just thank you. We're getting ready to take this to a new platform. I thought I was going to be ready to do it tonight, but I'm not. But God has taken this to a whole nother level, and I'm just excited about it, so stay tuned. It may be sooner than you think. For those who are listening to me all throughout the United States, all over Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, California, Arizona, it's just coming, Florida, it's just coming from all over. And I really, really appreciate your support. And even those who are outside of the country, I want to thank you, Haiti, Africa, United Kingdom, Canada. It's all over, and it's phenomenal, and it's humble. It's a very humbling experience for me. And those who are not familiar or know someone who could be blessed by this, please, by all means, send them over to my page, the www.blogtalkradio.com/woman. Once again, that's www.com/Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. You can also reach me on my Facebook page, and that is Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And I thank you for those who have been reaching out to me by way of email. And for those who are not aware and is reintroducing to others, you can email me at C as in Charlie, O-A-F woman at gmail.com. That's C-O-A-F woman at gmail.com. So without further ado, I have people who love to text me while I'm on the show, and I really appreciate that. And if you do want to reach out and text me and you don't want me to want to get on the air, you're more than welcome to do so. My number is 678-8871. Now, in the future, that number is going to change. I'm going to let you know that now, but right now, we're going with 678-887-9441. So without further ado, we can move on with this show. With that being said, can you hear me now? In the past, you know, and myself being included, children was always taught that they are to be seen and not heard. As a result of this, many of our children have suffered traumatic experiences in silence, afraid to go to their parents. The impact of the experience has often led to display of negative outward behaviors from childhood to even adulthood. So tonight we're going to focus, this is going to be a two or three parter, so I'm not sure how much I'm going to get through this tonight, but it's going to be a two or three parter because there's so many angles I can take this, and we're going to visit every last one of them, to be honest with you. So we're going to talk about, you know, one, that actual, I won't say cliche because it's not, because it goes all, it goes way back, to be honest with you. We're going to talk about, you know, children, is it good that children should be seen and not heard? And what are the benefits? What are the pros and what are the cons from that? And then, you know, what are some of the results, you know, from it? So without further ado, let's just move forward with that. So, of course, I always took my poll question, and my poll question was simply this. Should children be seen and not heard? Why or why not? So I'm starting with Marietta, Georgia. There's a time and place for everything and everyone. Learning opportunities will always present themselves. Once you properly establish respectful rules and boundaries, correct behavior accordingly. Children shouldn't engage in an umbo or one that does not involve them unless asked or intervening if it's a 911. As parents, I feel it's vital to help your child find and use their voice effectively and intelligently as soon as they can carry on a conversation. Allow them to explore and articulate their perspective and feelings. Groom for success and respect. I appreciate that. I do. Normally, I usually have a Google. I don't have one this morning, this evening. This subject matter is kind of very interesting, and it's one that hits home for me. It's really one that hits home for me. So we're just going to move forward with this because, as I've mentioned, I ask you all to please pray for me right now. Like I said, this one really hits home for me. But you know what? We're going to keep it moving because I think this is an awesome children. And even though we grow up under those rules and being seen and not heard and, you know, you don't act why and, you know, you do as I say and not as I do and you still can't act why, but it could be there are pros and cons. That's the best thing I'm going to say on that. But as you will see as I go deeper into the conversation tonight, when I start talking or start expressing some other feelings tonight or other thoughts about this tonight, I will. Now, I do have some people who are listening, and I can see you on my dashboard. In the event that you can't hear me, please text me and let me know, because I'm trying to multitask here. So what are your thoughts on that? And as I was reaching out with the poll question tonight, it was very interesting. So I want to take a second, and I want to pause, and I want to just talk on a personal note, you know, on my experience regarding that. You know, I grew up in that environment. I grew up where, you know, children were seen and not heard. And as a result of it, I experienced a traumatic experience. And as a result of that traumatic experience, I suffered in silence because I didn't have that environment where I can talk to someone about what was going on with me. And in my case, I was sexually abused. So do I believe in that statement? Yes and no. I believe there's a time and a place for a child to give their opinions or give their input, because God uses children. But Jesus was 12 years old when he was in the temple. You know, if there's so many angles I can go with this. But for my personal, going back to my personal, I can honestly say that I didn't feel that was most because it didn't provide a protective environment for me, because I wasn't able to share what was going on, because as far as I was concerned, the adults was always correct and the children were not, and the children were looked over on. They were not, so you couldn't provide that. And there were times where I had an environment where my opinion really didn't count. It was more so they gave me my opinion, and that was it, and you didn't ask why. Now, I'm not putting shade on anybody in the family or anything. Our families do the best that they can, and so there's no shade here. So I want to make sure I'm clear on that. But what I will say is this, you know, as being a mother now, I will say that I see how it affected me and also how it has affected my children, because I found myself started doing my children out of habit or out of like, what do they call it? I can't believe I went blank. But out of what you teach them what you know. And I realized I was doing that. And I realized generational. Out of a generational. And I was like, I can't do that. And now that I have realized what I'm doing, like I'm taking my children's voice I'm taking my child's voice, no, we're not doing that. Because I don't ever want my children to feel as if they cannot come to me about any and everything, because I'd rather them learn from me than to learn out in the street or not be in a situation. I don't want that, because I just know what it resulted for me. I mean, my voice was taken away as a child, and I just don't want that to happen to mine. That's what I don't want to happen. But there is a place for everything. Now, I will say this. I don't mind having healthy debates. I don't mind that, because I feel a child should express. You know, because sometimes a child can give a perspective that as an adult we will not be able to see or even think or even comprehend. But once we hear it, we're like, oh, you know, I never thought about it on that perspective. However, there is not what you say sometimes, is how you say it, you know. So, and also, I should only have your opinions when I ask you for your opinion. Don't ever feel as if you can come out the side of the boundaries of telling me something or coming out of pocket, as some kids may say, and feel like you can step outside of your boundaries, because you will never be on my level. What I mean is you'll never be that on that adult level. So when we can teach our kids to keep things in its perspective and create those boundaries for our children and teaching them boundaries early, then I think that healthy relationship, that healthy communication will get established, and then we can move forward with that. That's just my stake, and like I said, that's just my opinion. based on my situation. You know, it's interesting because when I reached out to quite a few, it was just interesting to hear their perspective. And this one, this perspective is coming from Winter Haven, Florida. Children should be seen and heard. God can and will use anyone he sees fit. And that's so very true. We just have to know when, and we just have to govern ourselves. And if you are, you know, a follower of Christ, you just have to keep those things in those perspective. Creating those rules, creating those things are very, very, very important. And we have to, as parents, keep it there and create it. We have to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. We're going to have to do it. And I'm going to sidetrack for a second because sometimes we have a tendency of letting outside people come in and give their little 2 cents. And sometimes you got to put people right back where they left. When they try to step, you just got to politely put them back in their nice little place and let them know that these are your children, or this, in my case, these are my children. And I have to let you know that God's what I'm going to do, and that's who I'm held responsible, and that's who I'm held responsible for, you know. So those are some of the things we just have to keep in mind. So this perspective is coming from Tucker, Georgia. And the question once again, should children be seen, and not heard? No, parents cause psychological trauma with kids. Parents cause psychological trauma. Kids withdraw and be affected later on in life. This does not mean they get to have their way. Open dialogue is the key. Very well said. Very, very well said. You know, it's interesting because it's so crucial, especially in this day and age, I cannot begin to tell you how important that is. And I wish, you know, it was a little different, but, you know, it is what it is. God makes no mistakes on the things that happens in our lives. But if I could do it all over again, I would, because God designed certain things to happen. And that's why I'm here today. And that's why we got Chronicles today. So what I'm saying is I just feel like this subject is very sensitive, like I stated. And like I stated, we're just going to have to be real. And everyone knows that this show is about real topics, real situations, real scenarios, and real people. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep it real and be respective. So I have people who are actually on the dialer tonight, and I'm really appreciating it. So what I'm going to do is I am going to take a call, and this is coming from, if I'm not mistaken, Simpsonville, South Carolina. Thank you for tuning into Chronicles. How are you this evening?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. So I'm not sure what you caught of the show thus far, but the topic now, and it's basically about our poll question. Our poll question is, should children be seen and not heard? Why or why not?
In my opinion, that children should be seen and not heard is a old mentality that was carried back from slavery, in which children were better to be seen and not heard from, especially when it came to matters of the master. And it has made its way through today's time, in which children are treated as property, just like they were back then. When we put them in a situation where we don't listen to what's going on with them or what's happening, I think the response that you gave was it creates a traumatic stress, or it creates a separation. Society is not like it was back then, so we need to listen to what's going on in our children's life. And sometimes, even if they make comments in what's happening in our lives, you know, we like to say that they need to stay in a child's place, but sometimes they look at it from eyes different than we can because we're in the midst of the situation, whereas they're on the outside looking in and can give you a little insight. Now, not saying that all the time that's right, but whereas they can disconnect themselves from the situation that you're in the midst of kind of helps. So, no, I think children should not be silent, but they should know there's a place and time to speak and speak very intelligently about what's going on.
I totally agree. I mentioned something earlier. I wanted to get your take on it. You know, when it comes to being silent and when it comes to not having that voice, you know, some of the things I've learned, and this is just my personal experience, is that the voice is taken out. You know, your voice is taken out. And I won't say just my personal, just based on some of the responses I've received and based on some of the reading I've done, a child's voice is taken out. And when that happens, you know, it kind of puts that psychological, it puts some of that traumatic experience, and they're, you know, you're not, you find yourself in that position where you keep things silent. And these are things that need to be, the things that you need to talk about or should be talking about, they find themselves in that position where they can't, and then other behaviors begin or create it as a result of it.
Can I take it to a different location?
Yeah.
Especially in the African-American church, we would rather children to be seen and not heard. We only want children to come out on CME, Christmas, Mother Days, and Easter, to do their little speeches and wear their little clothes. And you understand our churches are dying because the seasoned senior members of the church are not giving voice to the children, which is the future of the church. So if you want to put it in a scenario of children should be seen and not heard, then under that same breath, you should say, for that matter, then the church doors will close.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because with COVID-19 going on and with everything has changed from last year. And would you say that's a huge concern coming out and some type of normalcy is starting to come about? How do you feel that's going to affect?
As far as the church goes or as far as life in general?
I mean, well, what we're talking about now, because it's still prevalent. This situation is still prevalent.
With the vaccine out, and my wife and I was just discussing this issue, with what we find is it's been a year that we've dealt with COVID, that most churches have been closed.
Right.
And what you're finding that because it's been a year, that a lot of people have become reluctant to go back into the building, even though the facilities have been cleaned. They've been, you know, we clean them before, we clean them after. People are social distance. They wear their masks, their hands sanitized. But folks are still reluctant to go back in the church because they have gotten complacent with some of the stigmas that we've placed on the church, such as you have to be dressed a certain way. You have to walk and talk a certain way. When you don't have to come into the building and be subject to those things, it makes it easy. So a lot of folks don't want to come back to the church simply because they don't have to put on airs. And it's a great tool for the children because at this point, social media is their platform. They can maneuver through it a lot better than some of us adults can. So they're able to connect and find God and Jesus in ulterior ways than coming back to a building. From my understanding, that's not what God intended. So right now we have fallen into the trap of Satan. to take them out of the building.
Right, right. And I guess for me, what I'm trying to get at or trying to connect this to is you have those kids or you have people that, okay, I don't know any other way but to be real. So let me just stop sugarcoating and do it. Okay. So I know that when, you know, being involved with the church, and I still am, don't get me wrong, you know, but at first, when I was dealing with being abused, when I finally came to the realization, you know, like I got to deal with this, whatever, and I would go to the church, and I started coming out with my story and stuff, I was frowned upon. Now, you still have people that still will come out with their story, and I still notice the same thing. You know, people are still frowned upon. And now with, you know, COVID going on, with, you know, with them not being able to go in the church now, you know, and being able to do with social media and stuff, I just, you know, I'm wondering how are people going to, when they put those, like you said, those precautions in, you know, they sanitize the church, you know, how much of an effect would that have? And I'm curious to see how that, so I'm looking forward to the statistics on it, because some people are already feeling some kind of way, because I felt some kind of way when I started sharing my story, people started looking at me some kind of way. And sometimes when I still share my story, depending on who I share the story with, you know, they still look some kind of way. Now, I don't feel that way now because I'm confident in myself, and now I know when I should share my story and when I should not share my story. But you have these, you have some people who are not there yet. Does that make sense?
It's the same. It's the same old mindset that we have grown up with, that our stories are not important, that if something happens, you brought it on yourself. Knowing and you've been sharing your story and coming from the church's standpoint under the old mindset that you brought this on yourself, that no matter, you know, there was a time when you would come to the church and you would, you know, you would share what's going on, and they're going to make you stand in front of the church, and they're going to, and you feel some kind of way because they're looking at you some kind of way.
Spotlight.
And that's the problem that our children have. That's why we take that same stance when they try to tell us what's going on, that a lot of times you brought this on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through no fault of their own.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we do not have that sympathetic ear, even with the changes that have taken place in society. We still want to hold folks, we don't want to hold folks, well, I'm sorry. We hold the accuser accountable for the job, for what they're accusing somebody of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's that it's guilty until you're proven innocent, instead of innocent and proven guilty.
Prove guilty. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it's not even that, you're just guilty.
Right.
I'm gonna get you to hold the line for me. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for that input. I want you to definitely hold the line because I'm definitely gonna ask you for some other stuff. Thank you so much.
No problem.
So with that being stated, he made a good point. You know, coming from the church perspective, and I definitely appreciated that. You know. I remember that. I deal with so many ladies who have actually, you know, started coming out when you start sharing that, you know, seen and not heard. You know, when he mentioned that how this mentality has started from slavery, but actually it has gone back to, I believe it's which century? It's the 15th century, either the 15th or 18th century. I'm looking up now to see where did I see it. But it goes way back. And even especially with the church, and it was designed, believe it or not, to gear towards women. I found that very, very interesting that it was geared towards women, you know, on what she was, you know, was appropriate for her to say, what was not appropriate for her to say. So I thought that was very interesting. Now, next week, it's going to be very interesting because I do see that this show is going to go over to another week because I'm looking at another perspective that's giving, you know, it's coming and chiming into my brain. But as I mentioned, this is a very interesting topic and level. So I'm going to go to North Charleston, South Carolina. When I put the poll question out there that says, should children be seen and not heard? Why or why not? The response, that depends on the situation. That depends on the situation. Adult conversations are for adults and not children. I think it's important to teach our children manners and respect. In addition, our children also need to be taught to speak out when something is wrong. I often ask my kids how they feel about things or how a situation has affected them. As a child, I was afraid to say anything, and my children have not been raised that way. I speak to them about good and bad consequences. I allow them to speak, and I try to listen whenever they do. There is a season for everything under the sun, a time to speak, a time to be silent. This is true for adults as well as children. That as well. I saw something like that as well. And it was from Concord, North Carolina. And the response to that was, I have like a two or three parter on this one. They should be seen and heard. Kids are a blessing from God. They are here to have a purpose ordained by God. Growing up is a time for them to learn and act. It's up to the parent, guardian to teach and to demonstrate how to interact with people on a day-to-day basis. One of the ultimate lessons is respect. When kids are always silent, I feel it negatively impacts the kids, which is very interesting. Then I was told kids bring a special perspective to a situation that we adults sometimes are blinded due to various reasons. I'm not saying kids involved in every topic or situation, but when it's appropriate, I encourage them to share their viewpoint. God has and continues to share his word through kids. Just imagine what would happen if people would have tried to silence Jesus in his youth. Ooh, that's a good one there. I'm looking forward to getting Simpsonville back on this one a little later on this one right here. But that's something to think about. What if he did? You know, what if he did? Or you know, to even go in deeper than that as we get ready to prepare for when Jesus went to the cross. What if he would have just spoken out of turn because Jesus was quiet when he was on the cross? Because if he would have said anything, I don't think the events would have turned out the way it did. But I'm going to bring Simpsonville back on the line for that to give the church perspective on that. In fact, let me just get him back on here now while I'm thinking about it. So with that being said, this is Simpsonville. I think you just caught what I just stated. I would love to get your point on that one.
I love both answers. The first answer was definitely spot on time from North Charleston. This question or this response takes me back to train up a child in the way that they should go. First and foremost, we have to remember that we are our children's first teacher. When they come out of the womb and they grow up in the home, especially if they're the only child, you are the only person that they have conversation and that they mimic. And I tell my church all the time, somebody is always watching you, and 9 times out of 10, it's the children that are watching you. They may not listen to you word for word, but they watch what you do and how you do. So we first are their best teachers. Now, To go into the other half of that, I wholeheartedly agree that there is a time and place for children to teach, to speak, especially you had so much in there. I'm trying to pull it all together. Oh, my God. Yes. There is a time and a place for children to speak. Certain conversation they should not be in, and that is on the adult to hold true to that. But they, again, it goes back to training up a child in how they should go. We have to give them voice. We have to give them a safe place to have that voice. In all, I like the fact that the person responded that they asked the children how they feel about X, Y, and Z, and engage their children in discussion. That's some things that we grew up not always having the ability to have conversation with our adults on how we were feeling about things, what was going on in our life. That's a real situation when it comes to our men. Men have been taught to stand tough in all situations. And a lot of that we carry with us on the inside, even as pastors. Pastors are taught that whatever is they have conversation on is sacred. And I tell my congregation, whatever we talk about stays with me, and the only way somebody else knows about it is if you've told them. So it's a lot of baggage that we have to carry around. And when children don't have an outlet to talk to somebody about what's going on in their life, it's a lot of baggage that they carry around, which leads to negative actions. And if I may, think about what you went through in your life and how that impacted you until you were able to find an outlet to have discussion, creative, honest discussion about your situation.
You're right. My opinion didn't matter. You know, it's funny because I'm going to read something else with the gentleman from Concord, North Carolina. He stated, "I remember growing up and I was not able to speak. It was always shut up. I hated that with a passion. It caused me to share very little with them until this day. Habit or learned behavior." That's how I
remember. Right. And that when you teach children to be seen, to be silent and seen, what you're telling them is that you don't care about them and that they do not have an outlet to have discussion about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We think about all these shootings that have transpired across this country for these last 10, 15 years. A lot of that is due to the children not having an outlet to have conversation with somebody.
You know, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about, you know, how you should be careful how you treat kids. And she was saying that she tells her employees, be careful how you talk to these kids because you don't know what they're going through or what they're coming home from.
Yep.
Anger and rage. And I didn't realize, even though I took the situation that I went through and I just, for me, I felt like I just bottled it up and tossed it in my memory bank and just, I didn't want to deal with it, and I did, you know, but not realizing my tongue was very sharp. It was my defense mechanism to keep people away because I felt like if I kept people away, they wouldn't have any reason to be close to me or violating my space, and they wouldn't try to touch me or anything like that, but not realizing that was all, you know, a part of not dealing what has happened to me. And it just really is. And when you don't have that voice, or that adult figure in your life, you know, the adults, our parents, or, you know, the that parental figure in your life was there to protect you. At least that's there to be there to protect you. And when you don't feel you have that protection there, what do? You do bottle it up. And now that's suppressed anger and suppressed aggression. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come out one way or the other. So I agree. That's how you end up with these situations out here in our society, because they don't have an outlet.
Yep.
They really don't have an outlet. Thank you. I appreciate it, because it's very, very interesting. And I'm looking forward to it, because I have a different perspective that's that wants to express. So I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'm going to get her on the line in just a second. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Chronicles tonight. You're on the air live. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in. So, question, should children be seen and not heard? Why or why not? Anything?
Hello? Hi.
Yes. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Thank
you. I'm doing fine.
Right. So the question, full question is, should children be seen and not heard? Why or why not?
You know what? I disagree with that to a point. And when I said to a point, because as kids back when, yeah, we were told stay out of grown people conversation. We was told stay out of grown people face. A lot of times when we wanted to express our thoughts, parents were so busy in what they were doing. You know, like we say, they didn't hear what we had to say. And a lot of times when you want to say, well, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so touched me, because they didn't told you to shut up, you walk away. Now you keep it to yourself because you're in trouble for trying to tell something. I believe that children should be allowed to communicate. I have always, and it was, even though I have a son, I've expressed it to young ladies that was around me that I call my nieces, cousins. I've always expressed to them, if you don't feel comfortable about something, come tell me. If you can't tell nobody else, come tell me. And why? I have to leave that door open, because there is some parents, even to today, this didn't just start today that our kids should have been expressing our kids. The kids should have been able to express themselves years ago. And a lot of things that's secret now wouldn't have been secret. A lot of things that you and other people, including men, young boys, went through, wouldn't have went through if we were allowed to be able to open up and tell somebody something. So when you hear that, you should be seen and not heard, I disagree to a point. Now, there are some times if Mama and Miss Mary is sitting down talking, and you want to just sit in the conversation, no, that's not acceptable. Or you want to come in because you heard Miss Mary say something about Miss Sue down the street. That ain't none of your business. You don't have nothing to say. This is between Mommy and Miss Mary. So, yeah, that's one time I would say, you know what? I think you need to go to your room and have a seat, or go watch TV, or go play with someone, because now is not the time. I never believe in that word, shut up. I heard that not too long ago when he said, shut up. Oh, that just cringed me. Even when I ran my daycare, I told my children, that's not a choice. Well, Miss So-and-so, hold up, baby. Let this one finish first, and then I'll come to you. You have to give everybody an opportunity to check. There is no such thing as be quiet. You want to hear what that child has to say, whether you want to or not, because some things you don't want to. But you have to hear it. You have to hear it. Everything that comes out of a child's mouth is important to that child, even if it's not important to an adult. Now, something was said earlier, and I want to make a comment on it. The gentleman said that a a lot of times they said it was the woman's fault why she was in the position she was in. To a point, that's true. But there was also those things that if you let something go and say you're 25, 30 years old and now you want to talk about it, people look at you cross-eyed. Why? Because they want to say, why did you wait till now to bring it out? Why didn't you bring it out back then? Yeah, I couldn't bring it out back then when I was 5 and 8 years old because y'all kept telling me to be quiet. Y'all kept telling me you didn't want to hear what I had to say. Y'all kept telling me, shh, you don't need to talk about that. And now I'm at the school. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, no. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and now I'm at this age when we have to go through therapy and psychiatry, all of this, to get these emotions that's been buried in us for 20 and 30 years, they want to look at you cross-eyed. So, yeah, they're going to look at you wrong for many reasons, but at the end of the day, you know what happened. You know what you got to go through to get over it. And but we now...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to make a correction on something. The gentleman that was on the line, I didn't get that he was saying that it was the woman's fault. He was saying that it was, you know, back in the day, it was assumed or perceived that it was the woman's fault.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He said that's what they were saying back in the day, is they want to perceive that. But no, that's not always true. Some people said it was a woman's fault, and some of them said, well, why did you wait so long to tell it?
Well, that would be why.
Because you told me to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. But I still have to go back to that statement, though. So it was true. What he stated was true. It was.
Yes.
But and then piggybacking off of what you said, yes, that's the reason why, as women, we held out so long, because it was perceived it was ours, and that's why we held out so long. So it was a true statement.
But you know what? It is not just women.
You're saying both men and women. Well, women and men. Is that what you're saying? That's the correct.
Yes.
Is that what you agree on? Okay,
even boys has went through it, and they couldn't tell nobody because why? They kept keeping them quiet, and they wonder why some of them
are temporary.
They flip out when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mhm. 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 Got you. I want to bring him on the line, if you don't mind, and then we can all three of us can have this discussion.
Sure.
So, Mr. Simpsonville, I got you on the line with Ms. Fayville soon. I'm sure you caught that, so you can bring some clarity.
Yes, I got it. No, you were right on the head. As I listened to the conversation, you're right. We're in the situation, or the situation has gotten out 25 or 30 years later. Someone is able to bring up the situation because of how we treated the children or squelched voices. A very prime example of this would be Jesus, the adulterous woman being brought to Jesus in the Bible. When we discussed that story in the Bible, the one thing that no one ever focuses on, we focus on the woman all the time, what she did, how she was caught. But we never focus on the fact that during that time, it took three men, to see what was done to bring charges against you. Now, if three people watch this adulterous affair take place, no one ever brought the man to Jesus.
That's true.
No one ever spoke up about what the man did. It was all assumed,
mm-hmm.
or it was all what the woman did. And it's the same thing that has transpired all throughout history, that children, that anything that happened And it couldn't have been that, you know, some children don't know what's going on. Men have a depraved mind. But they fix children in such a way that when something happens, they're scared to death of opening their mouths to tell what's going on, because first we as adults will get on them about, you don't know what you're talking about. That ain't true. And if the child is having situations in the home, all the family is going to rally around the adult that the child is bringing charges against. So that's why I can say that it has been ingrained in us through slavery time. And you're speaking about men. Yeah. Men, again, have been taught to withstand and endure things and hold it in, which is why there's a high male suicide rate going on, and why males act out the way they do, because all throughout history and all throughout their growing up, they have been taught to hold it in, to be quiet.
Men don't cry.
From an African-American standpoint, we like to keep things pushed under the rug and in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't ever bring it out and talk about it, and I appreciate the fact that there are times and places where children should be seen and not heard. Again, if there's an adult conversation going on, they shouldn't be in the midst of that adult conversation. They should be in their room playing. But, you know, there are tacks and ways that we go about bringing that out. If you're in the presence, then if it's not directed at you, then you shouldn't be in the midst of it. You shouldn't have conversation. But if there's something that is going on, then your voice needs to be heard. All too often, we discount what the children say because we already have preconceived ideas and notions about whatever it is that they're discussing, or that they're insignificant to the conversation.
That's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mouthful. Well, I thank you all. I want you to continue to chime on in, because I definitely have a couple more before we get out of here. I knew this was going to end up in a two-parter show, or maybe three, but definitely we're going to continue this conversation, because it's such a well-needed conversation to have, because we're in a society today where everything, you know, we're out of the church for normalcy. And the truth of the matter is our normalcy is going to change. You know, I'm curious to see how normalcy in the church is going to be. That's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how normalcy in society is going to be, whether it's school, wherever we're going to be, it is. But also, you know, with the you know, we have technology. And I have a 9-year-old, okay? And if it ain't an electronic or a tablet or something, you're just not going to get it. The old school notebooks, you're just not going to get it. But anyway, my point is, you know, even when it comes to communication, you know, even when it comes to communication, I just know from my personal standpoint that I was raised up old school, and that does not work on my new school child. And so I find myself having to, one, recognize what's going on, and two, now I have to adapt as far as my method of communication and creating that environment, you know, already created, but I need to tweak it, because it needs to be an environment where he can feel comfortable, I can feel comfortable, we both feel comfortable, but the main thing is I want to make sure that those boundaries are still, but yet at the same time he feels like he is appreciated and not me still trying to put my old school ways on him. Now, as a mother and as just a person of the person that I am, I always, you know, I don't mind being transparent about myself. And when I recognized that that's what I was doing with mine, I was like, okay, something's going to have to change. Being a single mother is even harder, because you have to be that both mother, and I can't say I'm the father, because I can't be a father. I can just only be the best mother I can, and I will continue to do that. So I'm looking forward to carrying on this conversation for next week. It's going to go a little deeper next week because we are going to talk about the cons of this and some of the, like in this case, abuse that has happened and traumatic experience that has happened as a result of this, you know, children being seen and not heard. It is going to lead into some serious conversations. So my name is Christina Kirkendall. I want to thank my Simpsonville, South Carolina, for joining. I want to thank you for everyone who's participated in the poll questions. There's so much more to share, and I'm looking forward to doing it next week as well. I want to thank Fayetteville, North Carolina, for tuning in and chiming in tonight. I just want to let you all know that, you know, I'm not here. There is no judgment here. We all do the best that we can as parents. But one of the things I love about us, you know, from what I'm hearing from the responses and even the participants tonight, is that we take what we've learned and we tweak it to what we have to do when it comes to our children. And that's what I love about, you know, who God is and what he's done and what he allows us to do, because we will continue to do that. And I do want to advocate and say our kids do need to be heard. They not just need to be seen. They need to be heard. And their opinions matter. Their voice counts because we're going to be responsible for it. And as Simpsonville said earlier, they are going to be the byproducts of what we put out there in the future. And they're going to be taking care. They're going to be the people taking care of us. They're going to be the ones making those decisions for our future. So we just have to keep that in mind. When Whitney Houston sung that song, I believe the children are our future. They are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. That is so true and so prevalent, especially in this day and age. We are living in perilous, I won't say perilous time, but if you follow the Bible, you know what age we're living in, and you know where we live in, and we have to get it in. We have to get it in. It is not an option. And, you know, we have to think about you won't live twice or you won't die twice. That in mind. So I just want to say, encourage people, you know, thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fallen Woman. My name is Christina Kirkendall. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.